بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the subject on the basic rulings and principles of fiqh, and we move to the second foundation. The second foundation. This foundation is الوسائل لها أحكام المقاصد. The means take on the same ruling as their aims. The means take the same ruling as their aims. What branches from this foundation also is ما لا يتم الواجب إلا به فهو واجب. Whatever is required to fulfill an obligation is itself an obligation. This is one branch. Whatever is required to fulfill an obligation is itself an obligation. Likewise, whatever is required to fulfill a masnoon recommendation is itself recommended. Whatever is required to fulfill a masnoon recommendation is itself recommended. Also, whatever leads to the establishment of a haram prohibition is itself prohibited. Whatever leads to the establishment of a haram prohibition is itself prohibited. And whatever leads to the establishment of a makruh, detested act, is itself detested. Whatever leads to the establishment of a makruh, detested act, is itself makruh, detested. Also, what branches from this is that what follows on of worship and actions, whatever follows on of worships and actions, takes the same ruling as the worship and action. What follows on of worship and actions takes the same ruling as the worship and action. All of these branches stem from the first foundation, or the original foundation. The means take on the same ruling as their aims. All these branches stem from the fundamental principle we are discussing. The means take on the same ruling as their aims. Remember, these need to be memorized. These need to be memorized. This fundamental principle is a comprehensive one. And the meaning of الوسائل, the means, refers to the methods or ways taken to achieve the aim or the cause that leads to the matter or to the affair or to the objective, and refers also to the matters upon which the aim depends, and also from what is entailed from the existence of something, and also the conditions upon which the rulings depend. So, now, carefully examine the following statement. إِذَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ بِشَيْءٍ كَانَ أَمْرًا بِهِ وَبِمَا لَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِهِ. If Allah and His Messenger command a matter, then it is a command concerning that matter, and also what is required to fulfill this matter. Because the one who legislated the rulings is Alimun Hakim, all knowledgeable, all wise, knows what depends upon the rulings from requirements, conditions, and fulfillments. Similarly, forbidding something means forbidding it in essence and forbidding all that leads to it. So far clear? We'll give examples. So far clear? Let's take some examples. Going and walking to the salah, to the circles of knowledge, or to keep the ties of kinship, or to visit the sick, from the time you go till you return. Similarly, following the funeral prayers. So, all of that is part of the worship itself. Similarly, departing for Hajj and Umrah and for Jihad in the cause of Allah, from the moment the person leaves from his place until he returns to his place, he is in continuous worship. Why? Because these are means to this worship, or to such worship, and completion of them. قال الله تعالى الله سبحانه وتعالى the most high says in Surah At-Tawbah verses 120 and 121, ذلك بأنهم لا يصيبهم ظمأ ولا نصب ولا مخمصة في سبيل الله ولا يطؤون موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا ينالون من عدو نيلا إلا كتب لهم به عمل صالح إن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين ولا ينفقون نفقة صغيرة ولا كبيرة ولا يقطعون واديا إلا كتب لهم ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما كانوا يعملون. That is because they suffer neither thirst nor fatigue nor hunger in the cause of Allah, nor they take any step to raise the anger of disbelievers, nor inflict any injury upon an enemy, but is written to their credit as a deed of righteousness. Surely Allah wastes not the reward of the muhsineen, the good doers, nor do they spend anything in Allah's cause, small or great. Nor cross a valley, but is written to their credit. You see, nor cross a valley, but is written to their credit, that Allah may recompense them with the best of what they used to do. Is the evidence clear for what has been said? Is the evidence clear for what has been said? Naam. And also from the Sunnah, also from the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning the seeker of knowledge, من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سلك الله أو سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة. In the hadith reported by Muslim, whoever pursues a path to seek knowledge, then Allah will thereby make easy for him a path to paradise. نسأل الله من فضله. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His bounty. Whoever pursues a path to seek knowledge, then Allah will thereby make easy for him a path to paradise. Replete are the evidences from the authentic Sunnah concerning the reward of the person who walks to the congregational prayer. Listen to one of these narrations. In the hadith reported by Abu Huraira, and it's in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الرجل في جماعة تضاعف على صلاته في بيته وفي سوقه 25 ضعفا وذلك أنه إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم خرج إلى المسجد لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفعت له بها درجة وحطت عنه بها خطيئة. The reward of the prayer, this we take the wording from Sahih al-Bukhari volume 1 hadith 621. The reward of the prayer offered by a person in congregation is 25 times greater than that of the prayers offered in one's house or in the market alone. And this is because if he performs ablution and does it perfectly and then proceeds to the masjid with the sole intention of praying, then for every step he takes towards the masjid, he is upgraded 1 degree in reward, and his one sin is taken off, crossed out from his accounts of deeds. And also in the interpretation, in one of the interpretations of verse 12 from Surah Yasin, 36 verse 12, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ. Verily we give life to the dead and we record that which they sent before them and their traces. One interpretation is that we record their steps and their deeds, righteous deeds, whether to do the acts of worship or the opposite. The other interpretation is what they leave behind from righteous deeds, from beneficial knowledge, works, authorship, endowments, continuous charity, all of that is included. So, the footsteps leading to the salah, tabi'atun lil-ibadah, is something that follows on the worship. Also with respect to the footsteps that lead to sin, it's related to them, follows in terms of the ruling. Meaning, the footsteps then themselves will be sins. Take also the issue of salah. Now, the command in salah, for example, is a command to do the salah. And also, to do that without which the salah is not completed. Like, you must come up with the tahara, the purification. This is required for the salah to be established. And also, the sutra. Also the facing of the qibla. And the rest of the conditions. And also to learn the rulings of the salah, without which it cannot be completed. Similarly, the same applies to the rest of worship. And now you can understand, therefore, what has been already stated as a branch of this great foundation is whatever is required to fulfill an obligation is itself an obligation. And whatever is required to fulfill a masnoon, something recommended, is itself recommended. And whatever leads to the establishment of haram, of prohibition, is itself prohibited. And whatever leads to the establishment of makruh, detested act, is itself detested. And what follows on of worship and action takes the same ruling as the worship and action. Clear so far? Clear so far? طيب الحمد لله. And from the branches of this foundation is the saying of the ulama, the scholars, that if the time of a prescribed prayer commences upon someone who doesn't have the water, no water available, then he should seek it in the places where he hopes to find. Again, because whatever is required to do the wajib, to fulfill an obligation, is itself an obligation. Also, here it becomes also required from him to buy the water and to buy the sutra. In cases he may not have. And from the branches of this foundation is the obligation to learn what is needed by people from industrial things which they need in their deen or their dunya, small or great. And also from the branches of this foundation is the obligation to learn the beneficial knowledge. And the beneficial knowledge is of two types. Some whose knowledge is an individual obligation, fardu ayn. And this is what's needed for the person, for his deen and his worship and transactions, each in accordance with his own condition. And it is the doing of which is sought from every legally or morally responsible, mature and sane person. And the second type of knowledge is the collective obligation, fardu kifaya. And this refers to that which exceeds what's necessary. For the general community, meaning what is a necessity for the person, then it's an individual duty and obligation upon him. But if something which is not as such, but people need, then this is a collective obligation. The performance of which is sought from the morally responsible, collectively, but not from every individual specifically. This is known as fardu kifaya, such as the learning of the various branches of useful knowledge and useful industries, also like the adhan, the lesser leadership and the greater leadership, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, preparing the deceased for burial and for funeral prayer and for carrying and for burial itself and what follows, agriculture, irrigation and what follows. These, the branches of learning these industrial things which people need in their worldly and in their deen and their worldly life, small or great, so that they become self-sufficient and they don't need the other nations from the kafirs. And from the branches of this foundation is the measures taken to earn that which is needed to establish the rights of the self, the family, the children, animals, so if he doesn't have wealth and he fears destruction upon himself, then here saving the self is an obligation. And whatever is required to fulfill such an obligation is itself an obligation. Therefore, he should seek. The seeking of the sustenance here becomes an obligation. And from the branches of this foundation is the obligation to learn the direction of the Qibla and directions in general. And from the branches of this foundation is that the علوم الشرع, the shar'i knowledge, is of two types: objectives and means. The objectives are the book and the sunnah, meaning learning the book and the sunnah. And the means to that is the Arabic sciences. Because the knowledge of the book and the sunnah depend upon knowing the Arabic sciences, and cannot therefore be completed except through that, learning the Arabic sciences for that aim, which is achieving the legal knowledge. However, learning the Arabic just because one likes to learn it, then this is something mubah, allowable. Or someone learns the Arabic to become a poet or a writer. This is unrelated to the shar'i knowledge. This is neither for him nor against him. And from the branches of this foundation is that every permissible matter or allowable matter taken to abandon an obligation or to do a forbidden, then itself is forbidden. So every permissible thing or allowable thing taken as a means to abandon an obligation or to do a forbidden thing, then itself is haram. Because in this obligation, in this foundation, the means take on the same ruling as their aims or objectives. And that's why, therefore, it is forbidden to sell and to buy, to trade, after the second call for Jumu'ah. After the second call for Jumu'ah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, verse 9, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع. All who you believe, when the call is proclaimed for the Salah on the day of Friday, come to the remembrance of Allah for the khutbah and Salah. and leave off business and every other thing that is better for you if you did but know. Similarly, the same thing, if someone, it's forbidden to indulge in trade, if someone fears missing the time for the obligatory salah or the congregational prayer. Also, it is not permissible to sell something to one who intends to use it in a sinful manner. For example, selling weapons for the people of fitna, to the people of fitna, or to the road robbers. Or to sell an ingredient like that goes in the preparation of alcohol, while you know that he will turn it into alcohol. Also, forbidden are the deceptive methods in all transactions where it leads to haram, where it leads to haram. Like, for example, the trade in Ina. The trade in Ina. What is Ina? Someone sells a person sells a commodity to another for a deferred price due on a certain time. Then he buys the same commodity from him in cash for a lesser price. And from the branches of this is, for example, killing a person to whom a bequest has been made, or killing an heir. Because a person doing this in order to hasten taking the wealth. And so, also, someone who divorces his wife in an illness which he fears incurable. he will be treated in opposite to his intention. So she will inherit him. She will inherit him. Because he did the divorce in order to deprive her from the inheritance. Also, from that is treating with harshness the wife so that the person may take part of the mahar of the dowry. The bridal money given by the husband to his wife at the time of marriage, so that he can resort her to khula. قال الله تعالى in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 19. ولا تعضلوهن لتذهبوا ببعض ما آتيتموهن. And you should not treat them with harshness that you may take away part of the mahar of the dowry you have given them. Also like telling his wife to go to her parents' house and keep her situation suspended in order to force her for khula. So under these situations, it is not permissible for him to take any in return. Because anyone who hastens something before its proper time and ruling will be forbidden. From achieving what he intends. And from that also is if someone gives a gift for someone out of bashfulness or fear, then in this case it is obligatory to return it to him. Many of these branches also are governed by intentions. For example, the deceptful act intended to achieve something forbidden or abandoning an obligation is haram. Similarly, however, if they are used, or rather if they are used to extract lawful, permissible rights, then in this case they are lawful and they may be even commanded, except in case or in cases where this may be harmful upon the person. That is because, meaning some ways where no. The slave is ordered to take his right in open ways and also sometimes in hidden ways. Look at the situation of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about him in Surah Yusuf 12:76. كذلك كدنا ليوسف Thus did we plan for Yusuf. So he, Yusuf, began the search in their bags before the bag of his brother. Then he brought it out of his brother's bag. Thus did we plan for Yusuf. All of this was planned to achieve this right. He could not take his brother by the law of the king as a slave, except that Allah willed. Also, for example, things used to, or ways used to, save lives and wealth. As the case of the Khidr, and the ship in Surah Al-Kahf. The hole in the ship. So that it can be saved from the king, the oppressing tyrant who would take over and unlawfully take over any good working ship. So therefore, such plots depend on the intention, good or bad. Such plots depend upon the intention, good or bad. Is this clear? Is this clear? No. طيب. And from the branches of this foundation is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to trusts, concerning trusts. Take the verse in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 58. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. Verily Allah commands that you should render back the trusts to those to whom they are due. This covers all types of trusts. If someone deposits something with you as a trust, also the taking care of an orphan's wealth is a trust. Taking care of the endowment is a trust. From the means, therefore, Allah orders us that we should render back the trusts. And from the means to render back these trusts to their people is to preserve them and to spend upon them if they are of creatures with souls, animals. And from the means to run them back these trusts to their owners is not being negligent about them, nor doing to them that which is not permissible. All these are means. Of preserving and returning them back to their owners. And from the branches of this foundation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade all fawahish, all kind of evil things and sins, and forbade all the means of approaching them, where it is feared the person may fall into the haram, like being in seclusion with women unrelated to the person. Legally unrelated. And also the looking at haram. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-halala bayyinun wa inna al-harama bayyinun wa baynahuma umurun mushtabihat la ya'lamuhunna kathirun minan nas." What's lawful is plain and that which is unlawful is plain, and between two of them are doubtful matters about which not many people know. Then he said, "Wa man waqa'a fi ash-shubuhat وقع في الحرام." He who falls into doubtful matters falls into that which is haram, unlawful. Then he gave an example. كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يرتع فيه. Like the shepherd who pastures around a sanctuary, all but grazing therein. ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه. Truly every king has a sanctuary, and truly Allah's sanctuary is his prohibitions. also from the branches, is forbidding everything that instigates enmity and hatred between Muslims. And from its branches is inciting all that which brings friendship and cooperation from sayings and actions. Excluded from this foundation are the vows due to a specific wisdom particular to them, making vows. Making vows of obedience is obligatory to fulfill. Yet the making of the vow itself is makruh, detested. Because it doesn't bring good, as the Prophet ﷺ, except that it extracts from the miser. This is because it diminishes and takes away from sincerity. And from the branches of this foundation is the deceptive approach to make the wife permissible for her husband who divorced her 3 times. This is forbidden, and the person is cursed who does this. So, if someone goes to someone and tells him, go and marry my wife, whom I divorced, gave her the 3 divorces. So, he goes and makes a contract. So, it takes the form of a contract of marriage, while in reality it is adultery. And the person is cursed. And it's forbidden. Finally, it is to be asserted is that in as much as the means concerning the rulings take the same rulings, similarly what follows and what completes. And accordingly, going to perform the worship and returning from it to the same place from where he left is considered worship. And that's why some of the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, said, I anticipate my return to my home from Salah as I anticipate my departure from my home to the Salah. Meaning as anticipate the reward for it being a worship. This brings the end of the explanation on this second foundation. And the second foundation is الوسائل لها أحكام المقاصد. the means take on the same ruling as their aims. والله تعالى أعلى وأعلم صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.